This is the SMB Community Podcast, the longest-running MSP-focused podcast in the industry.
I'm James Kernan. My background's IT sales, marketing, and leadership, and most recently, M&A advisory services.
And I'm Amy Babinchak. I help MSPs run stronger, more profitable firms from a tech-first perspective.
Here, you'll find practical insights for MSPs and IT service providers. Powered by Small Biz Thoughts.
Hey, James. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Are you freezing or no?
No, we've got a warming trend coming. I was freezing last week, but this week it's all good. Can't you tell by the glowing non-tan I have? It's actually warmed up here and above freezing for the first time in, I think, 2 weeks. And it should be, I think we're going to get up in the mid-50s. So I'm excited about that. How about you?
I hope your 50-degree weather isn't going to make it here. Hey, James, we got an awesome question of the week this week, I think. If you have 5 minutes to stand up in front of a crowd of 100 decision makers, what are you going to say to them?
That's a great question. So obviously, if I'm an MSP business owner and I'm in front of a bunch of prospects, I would probably talk about the opportunity around AI. And I would position myself and my company as the local guru, and then turn right around and say what a great opportunity this is to leverage AI. We talk about this every week, it seems like, but you know, the majority of business owners really don't have a plan in place. And I would talk about us being able to help you put a plan together and then monitor, you know, because I think 80% of those business owners, their employees were already using something on their network unprotected. So, you know, that plan would encompass that that vulnerability right there. So I'd probably highlight our company is able to help you implement and protect your data leveraging AI. And that's what I would get into just from a lead magnet. What are your thoughts?
Well, 5 minutes are not very much time. So mm-hmm. You have to do something memorable. Right, you're not going to actually be able to sell anybody on your service in 5 minutes. But what you want to do is to get them to remember who you are, mm-hmm. and you know, a little bit of at least the business that you're in. Right. So, if I was up on stage for 5 minutes, I think I would probably mention something about AI, but I'd probably talk about a recent scenario that I came across, either in a conversation, hopefully with another business owner or with one of my clients, something yep. that we talked about, maybe that would resonate with the audience. And then right at the very end, I would say, oh, and by the way, if you're not happy with your IT and you're not getting this kind of service from them, find me later.
Yeah.
Right. So I try to give them like a concrete example of this is the stuff that we're talking to our clients about. And then right at the end, here's who I am. Just so they're going to remember who you are and remember that conversation.
I love that.
You got to get something to stick in their brain.
Yeah. And stories stick. And that's the thing, you know, people remember stories and they'll also remember how you made them feel when you were talking to them. That's tough to do to a room of 100 people, but they'll remember stories for sure. So I like your answer.
Yeah. You tell a joke.
Yeah, I could tell jokes, but
you tell jokes, they'll all remember who you are and then, you know, blow some balloon animals and then tell them you're in IT.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, storytelling is, I think, definitely the way to go for a 5 minute challenge. I know we probably freak some people out by like, oh, there's 100 people in the room. James, how do you get up in front of the room with 100 people? When you don't normally do it, a lot of our business owners don't. They have trouble sitting down at a table on a one-on-one conversation. Yeah. I had a room of 100 people. What do you do to get over the fright?
Well, you know, what I've noticed with people, because I've, you know, I had a fear of public speaking, just like everybody else in the world, right? And you have to just practice makes perfect. You get over that the more you do it. And I've since trained and coach a lot of people become better leaders and better public speakers in front of the room. I think that's really important. But the thing I've noticed is when they're talking about something they like or they're passionate about, their purpose, you know, or their family or in some cases, I was at an event and one of my clients got up and I could tell he was nervous. He was in front of a big room and he fumbled through this a little bit, but then all of a sudden he got into the mode of him talking about cybersecurity and things that we need to do to protect our kids. And he was kind of thinking, he's almost talking more as a father to the audience. And he, his confidence, his strength, his tone of voice, it was amazing, off the charts good. So that's an example of just speaking with authority and confidence in something that you're passionate about. So yeah, I think
it's
that's
always
important.
Easier to talk about something that you're passionate about. The audience already knows that you're an expert, because if you were not an expert, you wouldn't be standing there in the front of the room. So you don't have to convince them that you're an expert. You just have to start talking about your stuff. I got a trick. One of my tricks is, if I get nervous, and I do, like you said, every single speaker is nervous. Yeah. And people always tell me like, oh, we couldn't tell that you were nervous. I'm like, oh man, I thought I was like, I could hear my heart pounding. But if I get nervous and I'm having trouble getting over it, what I do is I find a person about a third of the way into the room somewhere, like not right in front of me so that I'm looking down, but like part way out into the room, and I'll start talking to them.
Yeah.
Especially if they're the kind of person in the audience that like nods their heads a lot and stuff like that.
Right.
I'll just start talking to them. And because they're far enough away, the audience doesn't see that I'm like staring at an individual, but that helps me shrink the room.
Yeah.
Right. Down to a size that you're more comfortable with.
There's all sorts of great tips on that. You know, go into the room ahead of time, try to meet a couple of the people. I love the one locking in on a friendly face that you can interact with. That's great. And then I always tell people, I go, why do you get nervous in the first place? You know, why? And whatever their reason is, I said, it's normally because you care. You care about what you want to do a good job, right? And just get them focusing on being positive and getting through that. And it's just practice. You know, you'll get over that really quick. Hey, before we leave this topic, I'm just going to say one quick thing. When you first said the question, you know, the first thing that popped in my mind was I was at a networking event and somebody came up to me and asked me, he reached out to shake my hand and he goes, what are you passionate about? And what a great question that is. And it caught me off guard. It took me about 30 seconds to really kind of get out of like sales mode, you know, an elevator pitch mode, and then talk about what's on my heart. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. So if any of you are going to a networking event and you're shy, ask someone, what are they passionate about? That's a great question. And it's going to be a long answer. They're going to talk about several things, I think.
Yeah. I love that as a one-on-one opener. Doesn't work so well from a stage, but it's a great one-on-one opener. Hey, let's talk about some news, because there's some important stuff this week. Microsoft just killed me. They announced that they're canceling the standalone OneDrive and SharePoint licenses. And I have been recommending to people for a long time that they use a standalone OneDrive account as a place to archive data that they want to keep but don't need to see necessarily all the time. Mm-hmm. And now they're gonna cancel it out. And it's happening pretty fast. So by June, you won't be able to buy it anymore. By 2027, you won't be able to use it anymore. And by 2029, it's the end of the service. The account's gonna disappear. So now is the time to really make a plan for that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. You know, clients that I had and people that I've talked to, this is a you're going to have to come up with a new plan. Yeah. And I'm going to be racking my brain for what that new plan is when I come up with it. Maybe we'll let the audience know that too.
This episode is supported by the Small Biz Thoughts technology community. Small Biz Thoughts is designed for IT service providers who already know the technical work and want to get more intentional about how they run their business. The community focuses on the operational side of managed services, things like service agreements, pricing, process design, and the day-to-day decisions that determine whether an MSP scales cleanly or stays reactive. Members have access to a deep library of practical resources, but more importantly, They're part of ongoing conversations with peers who are actively running services businesses and willing to compare notes on what's working. It's deliberately practical, deliberately focused, and built around helping MSPs make better business decisions over time. If you want to see how the community works, you can find the details at smallbizthoughts.org.
Business of Tech this week, they highlighted something that I noted in the news too, and I was happy to see. Apple did really, really well. Like, this was the quarterly announcements thing. They did because people started buying iPhones again.
I saw an article that, you know, it looked like their revenues were up 16% in the most recent quarter. That was interesting, and it's all primarily due to the iPhone model sales. And and I also saw that they acquired an Israeli startup that it was a big deal too on around AI.
Apple's getting really beat up about their AI strategy.
Right.
I don't think they should be, honestly. They're taking their time with it. They're developing new products. They are mm-hmm. they are rolling stuff out. Siri's better, thank God.
Yeah.
And I think actually they've got a good AI strategy. Just because it's not the same strategy as everybody else, I don't necessarily agree that it's the wrong strategy, but they're definitely getting beat up about it.
Yeah. Well, and I like being strategic, and they were very slow, deliberate, and very strategic. And I think as a result, they saved a lot of money that other manufacturers or vendors, you know, they spent millions and billions of dollars on AI without any kind of return on investment. So I like what Apple's doing. And I'm, again, that's not my favorite company out there. I've always been more of a Microsoft guy, but I like what they're doing from an AI standpoint. It makes a lot of sense.
We agree. And we'll have to wait and see if we're actually right about that. But I like the take. Yeah, Apple's sitting on a huge amount of cash, just like all the other tech companies, and they're still going to have it when the others run out. So
right, right.
Oh, that'll be cool. Something I know absolutely nothing about, servers still on premise. I tell you, I turned off my server in 2008, went full cloud since then. But I know a lot of MSPs out there are still supporting servers on premises, and there's a bunch of end of lifes coming up this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know in the channel, you know, as business owners, the end of life marketing is a great campaign because it drives project and product sales. And it's something, you know, a lot of people I talked to in 2025 had record years, and a lot of it was primarily due to Windows 10. So I think, you know, Google, you know, I know SharePoint Server is one of them, and SQL Server, Dynamics. There were a lot of server products that were end of lifing. And I think it's July 14th, if I remember right, that that's the end of life. So it'd be a good campaign to start marketing now. And then obviously, if you've got clients using those products, you know, you need to plan a project around that. But good,
yeah,
it's a good
time
lead
for the cloud migration. These are 2016 and 2019 products. You know, they're not new. They're old technology. Yeah. All the new features are happening in the cloud. So get those cloud migrations lined up. You're right. If you've got that stuff out there still, this is a wonderful time to make some migration money.
Yep.
All right, last news item for the day. Tesla's not building cars anymore. Well, not as many. They canceled the X and they canceled the S. I think that just leaves the Y because they canceled the truck a while ago.
Yep.
So they've got, they're just going to build humanoid robots. We're all going to buy one. We're all going to have one in our house, walking around doing I don't know what. And this is Tesla's new business model.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of what Apple did years ago and kind of went into more of the personal market side. But this is a real head turner. And I think, you know, it makes sense. You know, Tesla was scarred and damaged as a brand with Elon, who's very dynamic personality, got involved in politics, instantly just divided half of his customer base. And I think as a result of that, that was something that suffered. But what a cool focus to go into these robots. Now I have to go watch, what was it? The iRobot movie again. Remember that one? That's pretty cool.
I mean, it's a cool focus, but yeah. Is it going to be a profitable focus? Honestly, I can't believe the board's letting him do it. You know, they're the most valuable car company that's out there. And I don't see the robot thing taking off anytime soon. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going to be amazed by this robot, and I'm gonna have to have one because it will wash my dishes and mow my lawn and do my gardening and shovel my snow. And I don't know what all I would want the robot to do around my house, wash the windows. I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, what a shift in the business. But I think if they can figure out how to get the price point down to something reasonable, then, you know, everybody's going to want one and many people are going to get it.
Yeah. So. It's going to be the price of a car, you know, whatever that means, right? What is the price of a car? The people always put 40 grand on that. But, you know, we're talking Tesla, so it's closer to 100.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to spend on a robot to walk around in my house, I think.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, Tesla's, even though the car sales were down as a company, I think it was trading like, what, 446 most recently, and they're up 150% over the past 3 years. So this is a big shift. It'll be interesting to see. You know, one, how the market reacts to it, and if everybody races out to go get a robot when they're ready, and also what it's going to do to their stock. But
well, the one thing they got going for them, Tesla's valuation is never dependent on their sales. Mm-hmm. It's kind of follows innovation. The meme stock rules rather than the actual production of the company. So maybe that's what they're counting on. Well, that's all the news that we've got for you, got everyone for today. Any last words you want to throw in, James?
No, just keep at it, everybody. I think 2026 is going to be better than 2025. And keep marketing yourself and keep out there. And we'd love to hear from you on the SMB Community Podcast. So if you've got a question of the week or a topic or anything positive to say, you can reach out to me. Anything negative, reach out to Amy. No, just kidding. Yeah, but we'd love to hear from you. Any questions of the week, just email me, james@kernanconsulting.com. We'd love to get your question on the program.
Thank you for listening and or watching. Remember, Dave breaks down the IT news of the day on his show, The Business of Tech, which drops at 5 p.m. Eastern, Mondays through Fridays, with bonus content on the weekends.
Watching this on YouTube? Be sure to like and subscribe so you always know you've got our latest episode. We'd love to hear from you, so feel free to use the contact form on the SMB Community Podcast webpage. That's smbcommunitypodcast.com. Or leave your comments on our YouTube episode page. Produced by Picture This Video. Part of the MSP Radio Network.